Number 8.
If you've ever been in an open forest and seen a squirrel that is larger and of different coloration than the typical eastern gray squirrel that you normally see, you've probably just seen a fox squirrel. Fox squirrels are found throughout the eastern United States and into some parts of the Great Plains and western United States, as well as Canada. They are typically larger than gray squirrels and have very distinct colorations depending on where they are found. In some areas, they are brownish gray to brownish yellow with an orange underside, and in other places, they may be almost completely black or black with some white bands on their face or tail. Sherman's fox squirrel is a subspecies of squirrel that's found in Florida and Georgia, especially in areas where there are longleaf pines and sandhills. Like other fox squirrels, they can exhibit a lot of variation in their fur color, ranging from nearly black to silver and with a tan underside. Here in Florida, Sherman's fox squirrel is considered to be a species of special concern because they've lost so much of their habitat due to habitat loss and degradation. Sherman's fox squirrel is named after Harley B. Sherman, who was a prolific ecologist and commonly referred to as H.B. Sherman. He was originally an instructor in New York, but then he came down to Gainesville in Florida in the 1920s to be a professor at the University of Florida in the biology department, and he taught here from 1925 to 1955. While he was here, he established a business making small mammal traps. These traps are still being sold today and are commonly referred to as Sherman traps, with the business based out of Tallahassee, Florida. Almost every mammalogist who has ever trapped a small rodent or a squirrel has used this unique folding live trap. H.B. Sherman made a huge collection of Florida mammals, and they are all deposited in the Florida Museum of Natural History's mammal collection. My name is Verity Mathis, and I am the Mammal Collections Manager at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 100.
Among the many awe-inspiring treasures found in the mammal collections are the skulls and skeletons of the whales that we preserve. There's nothing quite like turning the corner and sitting next to a skull taller than you are. One of the many species of whales that we have is a humpback whale. This particular specimen, a juvenile male, stranded off the coast of Florida on New Smyrna Beach in Volusia County in January of 1990. Humpback whales are found all over the world and can migrate up to 16,000 miles every year. We're more likely to see humpback whales off the coast of Florida during the winter when they are migrating to tropical waters south to breed and to give birth. An interesting fact is that during the winter when they are breeding, humpback whales don't eat at all and instead live off their fat preserves. Recent work on the genetics of humpback whales has shown that the populations found in the North Atlantic, North Pacific, and Southern Oceans are more different than previously thought and that they might be considered separate subspecies on separate evolutionary paths. More work is needed to better understand if these different populations are coming into contact or not. This is Verity Mathis, Mammal Collections Manager at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 115.
This skull seen here was very instrumental in helping further protections for the Florida panther. Florida panthers are an iconic mammal in Florida and are an excellent example of how federal protection and management can help a highly endangered species recover. Florida panthers are the only subspecies found still in the eastern United States. There were once many subspecies of panthers that were wide-ranging and numerous, but by the early 20th century, they were almost hunted out of existence. And in the 1960s, the Florida panther was thought to be extinct. In the 1970s, there were an estimated 20 Florida panthers in the wild. They were one of the first species added to the newly created Endangered Species Act in 1973. Thanks to protections from the Endangered Species Act and the genetic restoration efforts in the 1990s, which used Texas panthers, the Florida panther population has rebounded and is estimated around 160 individuals. This particular individual was shot by two hunters in Palm Beach County in 1983. There was considerable debate as to whether this individual was a Florida panther or not, since if it was a Florida panther, the hunters could be charged with killing a protected species, but if it was not one of the Florida panthers, they wouldn't be prosecuted. Several experts weighed in by looking at the measurements of the skull and other skeletal elements, trying to determine the true origin of this panther. At the time, the results were inconclusive as to the true subspecies status, although now experts believe it was a Florida panther. However, because of the debate, the protections for Florida panthers was broadened to a look-alike law where individuals could be prosecuted for killing any panther in the state of Florida, regardless of whether or not it was a Florida panther. Some Florida panthers have distinctive markings that are unique to the subspecies due to a history of inbreeding and limited gene flow. Those characteristics include a kinked tail and a unique patch of fur on the back of it like a cowlick. The high chin here has a distinctive cowlick. The kink in the tail is not preserved in the hide, however, but this individual did have one. Florida panthers are only found in South Florida, such as in Everglades National Park and in Big Cypress National Park. However, males have been known to roam further. In fact, according to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, the furthest known location recently for a male panther was in Georgia. Recently, a female panther was spotted north of Caloosahatchee River, which has long been regarded as the northern limit for the population. My name is Verity Mathis, and I'm the Mammal Collections Manager at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 116.
No one in Florida really needs an introduction to the Florida manatee. They are native to the state, and along with the Florida panther, are an iconic mammal for Florida. The Florida manatee we all know and love is a subspecies of the West Indian manatee. West Indian manatees are found throughout the Caribbean islands, Central America, and down to Northern and South America. The Florida manatee can be found in our state's coastal waters, springs, and rivers, but are also known to travel along the eastern coastline as far up as Massachusetts. In the Gulf of Mexico, they can be found west to coastal Louisiana and sometimes as far as Texas. A cool fact about manatees is that they don't have tooth replacement like you and I do. Instead of having baby teeth that fall out and get replaced with permanent teeth, manatees have what's called rolling dentition or marching molars, where new teeth are formed in the back of the jaw and move forward as old molars wear down and fall out. This is an adaptation to help them cope with eating the abrasive plants that they love. Those plants often get mixed in with sand, which can wear down the teeth very quickly. Elephants also have the same tooth replacement pattern, although elephants only have a limited number of molars, whereas manatees have a never-ending supply. Manatees are a federally protected endangered species and have been on the endangered species list since 1973. Back in 1991, there were estimated to be only a little over 1,200 manatees in the state of Florida. Today, there are estimated to be over 6,300 individuals. The main threat to manatees used to be collisions with boats and habitat loss. But manatee protection zones that reduce speed and or restricted operation of water vessels, as well as restrictions on waterfront development, played a huge part in helping the species rebound. Now, many groups would like to see the manatee removed from the endangered species list and have petitioned the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to consider delisting. In early 2016, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service officially proposed delisting the manatee and moving it from the endangered list to the threatened list. However, no decisions have been made as of December 2016 as to whether the agency will follow up on that recommendation. Even though their numbers are up, they're still vulnerable to prolonged cold snaps and algae blooms, which have caused their numbers to crash in the past. And the removal of manatees from endangered species protection could ease or remove the protections that helped restore their numbers in the first place. This could cause manatee populations to suffer again as they once did. So more research is definitely needed, no matter what the final decision is regarding the manatee's future protection status in the state. My name is Verity Mathis, and I'm the Mammal Collections Manager at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 125.
You might not notice these little guys or even ever see them, but Florida's beaches are home to a rare and endangered species. The beach mouse is a subspecies of the more common Old Field mouse. While the Old Field mouse can be found in, you guessed it, old fields, agricultural landscapes, and other open areas, the beach mouse makes its home on the sandy beaches along the Gulf and Atlantic coasts. There are 8 species of beach mice that are found all along the coast of Florida and Alabama, although one is already considered to be extinct. Along the Atlantic coast, you might find the Anastasia Island beach mouse or the Southeastern beach mouse. Along the Gulf coast, you can find the Alabama beach mouse, the Perdido Key beach mouse, the Santa Rosa beach mouse, the Chocowatchee beach mouse, and the St. Andrew beach mouse. As you might have guessed, most of these mice are named after the islands on which they are found. Beach mice are nocturnal and avoid well-lit areas and houses, so you will never find one inside. Another interesting fact about beach mice is that they are monogamous, which means a pair of beach mice will mate for life. As you can see from the various museum study skins, beach mice tend to have pale, white to grayish coats, so they can blend in easily with the sand on the beaches where they call home. Almost all the beach mice subspecies are state and federally protected because their habitat is under constant threat from beach development, erosion, predation by native and non-native species, and catastrophic events like hurricanes. 5 of the subspecies of beach mice were originally described by Wilfred Wedgwood Bowen, a former research associate here in the museum. In the mammal collections, we have a legacy of his work on this group in the form of over 2,000 flat skins and skulls from the laboratory work he did on the various beach mice subspecies, where he did breeding experiments to better understand how the pelage patterns varied between the subspecies, and where he tried to understand the genes controlling the various pelages that define the subspecies. My name is Verity Mathis, and I am the Mammal Collections Manager at the Florida Museum of Natural History.